Good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you to tonight's November 25th regular city council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight. Our next item on the agenda is citizen input. Is there any citizen who would like to address the city council tonight? Okay, hearing none, I'll move to roll call, and all the council members are present with two of them via the Zoom call. Daryl, do you want to confirm your attendance?
I am present.
Thank you, Daryl. And Mark Snyder, do you want to confirm your attendance?
I am present.
Great. Thank you, Mark. So now I'll move to item two, which is the approving of tonight's agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
Make a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Next item is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make the motion for this consent agenda.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Let's now move to our current business. Item A is a 10-year recognition of Officer Claudio Garza. This time I'd like to call Claudio Garza up to the podium. Thank you. We'll get in the front. It's my honor to introduce Claudio Lee Garza III, a dedicated public servant whose life has been defined by commitment, service, and a deep love for his country and community. Claudio was born on November 7th, 1981 in Forest Grove, Oregon, to Claudio and Benita Garza. He grew up surrounded by a close-knit family, including a brother, two sisters, and a wide circle of aunts, uncles, and cousins. From a young age, Claudio developed a passion for sports, excelling in wrestling, football, and baseball during his time at East Valley High School, where he graduated in the year 2000. His athleticism and drive were evident early on, setting the stage for the remarkable journey that followed. On October 15, 2001, Claudio made the noble decision to serve his country, enlisting in the United States Marine Corps. Over the next 5 years, Claudio rose through the ranks, ultimately achieving the rank of sergeant before completing his service in 2006. His time in the Marines instilled in him the values of discipline, integrity, and a sense of duty, values that have shaped his entire career. 2008, Claudio met Alicia Garza, the love of his life. Together, they have built a beautiful family with five wonderful children, Sabrina, Victoria, Jackson, Claudio, and Evan. Outside of his professional life, Claudio cherishes his time spending his time with his family, and as well as enjoying his hobbies of fishing, camping, and the simple joy of being with his loved ones. In 2014, Claudio's desire to continue serving his community led him to the Othello Police Department. He was hired that November. Since then, he has proven himself to be an invaluable asset to the department. Claudio is known for his expertise as one of the best shooters in the department, and he proudly serves as a field training officer and instructor for active shooter and tactical first aid courses. His dedication to training the next generation of officers has earned him the respect and admiration of his peers. As a senior patrol officer at Othello Police Department, Claudio is a trusted leader who embodies the principles of hard work and loyalty. When he was hired, Chief Schenck made a promise to Claudio that he would give him 10 years of service to the department. True to his word, Claudio has remained a loyal and dedicated member of the Othello Police Department with no plans of going anywhere else. He is committed to finishing his career here, making a lasting impact on his community and his fellow officers. Please join me in recognizing Claudio Lee Garza III, a man whose dedication to his family, his country, and his community service serves as an inspiring example of selfless service. Claudio, this award is presented to you, Claudio Garza III, in recognition of 10 years of service to the city of Othello, from November of 2014 to this year, November 2024. Congratulations, Claudio. Do you want to say anything?
Thank you guys for letting me work here. Chief, hope to give you 10 more years. Glad you guys had the gave me the opportunity to come and work here for this long. Thank you guys.
Thank you, Claudio. You know, when we hired Claudio, one of the things that Chief Schenck and I had discussed and with the department is that we were looking to hire officers who were going to live in Othello. We're going to stay in Othello and work for the department. And Claudio, you have fulfilled and been true to your word. We congratulate you tonight. Our next item on our agenda is our legislative agenda. And tonight we have the pleasure of having with us Emily Shea. I think she's introduced herself to members of the council who are present. We also have Holly on the Zoom call. Hello, Holly. And been working with Emily and Holly back and forth about our legislative ask this year. So Emily, you were gonna give us a legislative report and a little more information for the city council tonight. So please Yes. Take it away.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for having me here. The decorations were a nice surprise to me coming here and seeing the Christmas holidays early this year. It sure is a pleasure to be with you all today. I may be new to a lot of you, but I also just want to give a quick second to introduce myself and the team. My name is Emily Shea. I'm one of the newest state lobbyists on Gordon Thomas Honeywell, state relations with Brianna Murray's team alongside Holly. I may be new to y'all, but I'm not new to lobbying. Prior to GTH, I did work for the Association of Washington Business. So I really look forward to working with each one of you to represent now the city of Othello and the community before us. My dad actually is the city administrator of Hoquiam, so I understand the importance of a small community. And just like the mayor mentioned, how important it is to stay and live and have the workforce want to be involved in the community as well. So I do thank you for bringing me into your city as well. So just quickly, the change on the team, and if Holly wanted to introduce herself or just give a little shout out and wave, Holly will be transitioning to more of a policy analysis role, just still being on the team, but me serving as a state lobbyist as well. So just an additional member on the team. Next slide, if you can. So diving into the substance of this evening, and you can, next slide, thank you. Presentation this evening, today on the agenda, we have three topics to cover. The first one being the legislative session expectations, and then the legislative agenda priorities that me and the mayor collectively have gone through before session, and then next steps moving forward before session starts in January. Okay. So I'm going to start with the current political climate, then provide you with a budget overview. So you're likely aware that we just got over a election. As of today, there's about 80% of voter turnout here in Washington State, and currently 4,000 so ballots are still waited to be counted. The results for you today are not technically considered final, as they won't be certified until December 5th, but these are what we can assume are going to be the final results. So I want to highlight a few things, starting off with the initiatives that did or did not pass this year. We had three different initiatives that the legislature sent for voters for consideration, all of which were repealing recent tax measures. So the voters did reject those repeal measures, such as the Climate Commitment Act, a recent enacted capital gains tax, and the long-term care program. So those three initiatives have been upheld. They were not voted to be repealed by voters. There was, however, a fourth initiative on the ballot that was related to access to natural gas that did get enough votes to be passed. So that ballot measure has been repealed. We have heard from recent conversations with legislators that is perceived as a green light for progressive tax reform. So expect some tax proposals coming out for this legislative session. All nine executive office positions were retained by Democrats. So we had a full sweep on that end. Democrats have very solidly retained and expanded their majorities in both the House and Senate. There was, however, really close races during this election, including the 10th, 17th, and 18th and 14th legislative district. But from the looks of it, it looks like Democrats will gain one seat in each chamber, giving them 30 to 19 in the Senate and 59 to 39 in the House, meaning that one was gained in the House and the Senate. That means that they will have 60% vote in each chamber. And with that, Democrats will have the ability to approve bonds and transfers out of the budget stabilization account with Republican support. There was talk, however, of a supermajority, which would have been a 66% vote. That was not, there was not enough votes to get to 66%. So we won't have a supermajority in Democrats, but the Democrats still did get one extra seat in both chambers. While there isn't significant turnover in politics in Washington State, there is significant turnover in people. We saw about 18 different legislators choose to not seek re-election that the seats that they were in, so they retired. So we will see a lot of new faces coming into this legislative session. Some good news for you all is that your representatives and senators will be back in Olympia next year fighting for the city of Othello. As in the case with the beginning of the new legislative biennium, the legislature will now go through a process where they recognize themselves, re-elect the leadership, identify who their committee chairs and ranking members are, and identify which legislators are going to be serving on which committees. So this will be what I'm talking about a little bit later about our committee days. The process will occur throughout November, and the legislators will meet the week of December 9th in what's called the committee assembly days, where they start holding work sessions on topics they plan to tackle this next session. I will quickly note that the process of reorganizing Senator Peterson, he was on the Ways and Means Committee last year, was selected as the new Senate Majority Leader. We are still waiting for the House assignments and the Senate Republican, So wondering what the Senator Schessler's position will be, as well as the House Republicans. So we should be figuring that out during committee assembly days. Next slide. Now I will provide you with a budget overview. As mentioned earlier, this is the start of a new legislative biennium. We have a two-year cycle. The first cycle is scheduled to last 105 days, so that being our long session. The primary tasks in front of the legislature are to adopt new biennium budgets. The state has three budgets, an operating, a capital, and a transportation budget. In addition to their budget work, they will also consider and adopt policy bills. There is generally around 2,000 bills introduced during session, and if historically context continues, of those 2,000, 300 to 400 will be passed. In the operating budget, budget writers are anticipating a $10 to $12 billion shortfall over the next 4 years. We've seen these reports come out in the news in regards to the Economic Revenue Forecast Council for the state. The shortfall is largely caused by raising costs, lower than expected tax collections, and increased demand for public services. The transportation budget is also facing similar revenue shortfalls from the time now. Over the next 10 years, there's still a multi-billion shortfall in delivering transportation package. We have seen this throughout the state within a multitude of transportation packages taking longer than expected. The capital budget is the most stable of the three budgets, but it's not expected to increase in size that it has in recent years, but we continue to see the capital budget be stabilized. The budget, the capital budget funds bricks and mortars construction, like your parks, your community buildings, and the most reliable way of seeing a return on investment for Othello dollars coming back to the city of Othello. Stop, next slide. With that in mind, here are the items we will discuss for our proposed legislative agenda that over the past few months, the mayor and I have been working on. So the water treatment plant property, I wanna correct that, it's property, not facility, and community pool. So within our two legislative priorities, within the budget shortfall and recent tax increases being upheld, legislators are considering revenue packages this year. It is likely that the operating and transportation package will be in some sort of joint situation, and it looks like what taxes will be brought forth is still unclear. So with that in mind, as your lobbyists, we don't often handle what legislators choose to increase taxes. That's much bigger than us, but what we can do is adjust for advocacy to take advantage of what revenue is available on your agenda and find the right funding numbers, amounts, and approach to do that. And so that's what brings us to the two asked. So the water treatment plant project has been an ongoing multi-year initiative that you all have been working on. And bringing this forward remains the top priority. The next phase involves acquiring the water treatment plant property per ASR. A bold request for $1 million through the capital budget has been made to finalize the purchase of that facility. Although funding available in the budget is limited, it is anticipated that the new incoming executive administration will be more receptive to the CREST due to their active involvement in climate property and priorities moving forward and the significant impact this would have on our current climate environment. Next slide. We recognize the Othello community pool is very essential for community engagement and physical activity. And the sudden closure due to the leaky pipes and broken tiles have caused significant disruptions leading to the pool closure. We believe we have an effective messaging strategy to address the current budget challenges. It is important to request funding to resolve this issue. So we will proceed with this approach and await the outcome. If you don't ask, you won't get the funding. So we're going to bring this forward and see what happens. And with our partnership with AWC, with the Association of Washington Cities, we engage in their legislative agenda process. Our advocacy aims to ensure AWC's support, Othello's best interest, and coordinating efforts with the mayor. This year, AWC has adopted their legislative agenda in late September, the main properties being the ones included on that list there. I'll just go into it a little bit. This year, AWC focuses on securing funds for maintenance and preservation through a new revenue package through transportation as gas tax revenues decline. They are also seeking flexibility within existing revenue resources and local discretion on how to use those funds. For public safety, AWC requests funding via a new municipal justice account. It maintains full state funding for law enforcement training. which was increased from 75% to 100% last year. So this would just be asking for a continuation of that funding. Additionally, the emphasis for more housing supply and behavioral health treatment has become a major theme in next year's session, as well as the Association of Washington City's priorities. Next. And with that, Mayor, I will now turn it back to you to facilitate the remaining discussion and address any questions. The next steps will be to advocate for the draft priorities outlined this evening. Legislative committee days, which will include meeting with legislators from your delegation on December 9th to 13th. And then legislative session begins on January 19th, where I will make sure to run around representing the city of Othello proudly. So with lastly, if you could pause to the next slide. That is our contact information for both Brianna Murray, state lobbyist partner on our team, and me as well, if you need to bug anyone that's not the mayor during session.
Emily. Okay. City Council, do you have questions? So when we were discussing our needs, I think it was pretty obvious what we've had our focus on is water issues, and that's our number one legislative ask. But then the other, of course, is the swimming pool. And so, as Emily said, if you don't ask, you're not going to get, and I wanted to ask. And so Emily attended a meeting with Senator Schessler here several months ago, and I've talked to Representative Mary Dye, and we feel like we need to bring this request forward. So these are the two things that are affecting our community at the moment that we feel like we need to fund. Any questions for Emily? Can I entertain a motion then to adopt our legislative agenda for the 2025 state legislative session?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we have with us tonight our federal lobbyist, John Colton. John was going to talk about our legislative priorities and advocacy that he's been working with the city on on behalf of the city. John?
Thank you, Mayor. Do you have someone else waiting in the lobby right now? Mike Rizzitello? Riz is going to join us.
Sorry, what was the name?
Mike Rizzitello. Will you please email me the meeting link really quick? We'll get him on board. We good? Is that okay? Might take a second. Oh, here we go. Sorry to keep you waiting, everyone. The way it's worth it, though. Mike's great. Okay, why don't we go ahead and get started? And I'll hop on board in just a second. Yeah. He should have it. Is Rizzitello?
Where'd you get that?
What's that?
Where did you get that at?
Sorry, it just showed up.
It'll be mrizzitello@gmail.com.
Okay. Oh,
all righty. Is he in?
It's doing its thing.
Nope, that one.
He might be in that, yeah.
Close that out.
He's got many emails.
Usually.
I vouch for him, though.
Okay.
Well, sorry, everyone. Let's go ahead and get started. So, appreciate everyone's time. Slide, please.
Simple agenda.
So, Emily did a really good job of talking about the ASR project. The mayor and I have been talking for about a year plus now. Happy to say that through the advocacy, including our trip to DC, we were able to secure a $1 million earmark for design of the ASR project. I will say this is barring the passage of the appropriations bills, which Congress is attempting to do, not very well. On December 20th, Congress, the continuing resolution, which keeps the government funded, will end on December 20th. And so Congress is going to have to negotiate an additional timeline. We're hoping, or we're guessing, it's probably going to be in March. And what the holdup is right now is those appropriations bills. So essentially, you know, what levels are we going to fund everything at? Of course, political environment has changed in the federal government, just like it has in Olympia. Senate Democrats lost control to Republicans. Republicans now hold a 53-47 advantage, which means we have an alignment of government now with the Trump administration and Republicans keeping the House. So I think what you're going to see is a different kind of negotiation in this next year. So fingers crossed, we'll have appropriations done in March. What that means is then the last hurdle for securing that federal funding will be passed. So more to come. Slide, please. Mic is on. Rizzitello, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. So that was a great win. I think, you know, so when we talk about the ASR project, the biggest question we all have is, okay, well, how are we going to construct this massive thing? So the mayor and I have worked for the last year in the 2024 Water Resources and Development Act bill. This is a two-year bill. It's the nation's water bill. We were able to actually get a $14 million line item authorization for the city of Othello. This is huge. It is the biggest authorization, I think, that we've seen in that entire bill. It also is waiting for passage, which should happen in the next 3 weeks or so. Now, I do want to be clear, authorization and appropriation are very different, right? Now we have the line item in the bill, it's codified, but we will have to be advocating for the Army Corps of Engineers to actually give us that money. So with all things in the federal process, it does take time. So I just want to make sure to set expectations, know that this was a huge win, but we still have a lot of advocacy that has to go forward. Next slide. So Mike, I'm gonna let you hop in here on the SED study. Actually, Mike, do you just wanna take it and talk about what a SED study is? I have a nice little paragraph, but I hate reading paragraphs off of PowerPoints in rooms where everyone else can read too.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Certainly. So SED study is really important. It's a requirement of the Federal Economic Development Administration and provides data analytics as far as what your labor workforce is and what our target industries or markets that your locality can break into. All that's very important because if you do an economic development plan to SED's criteria, and then the Economic Development Administration, which is part of the Department of Commerce, they sign off on it. Essentially, for 6 years, You then qualify for all the Economic Development Administration grant programs. They have grant programs with workforce, and then they also do with public works as well. So that public works grant account that can pay for, as long as you demonstrate a nexus with job creation, it's in your SEDS, they'll pay for water towers, roadways, sewers, storm, flex buildings, farmers market buildings, you name it. Naturally, there's a local match to it. Depending on the census block group statistics and things like that. But it's just another bucket of money to get things for. And it's very possible. I mean, where I currently work, we use it for infrastructure. And then even in my past job at City of Beaverton, we used it to go rebuild a culvert. So if you have an approved SEDS plan, that's really the kickstart to getting a lot of infrastructure funding. Naturally, like everything in the federal government, takes a bit of time, but the juice is worth the squeeze.
So I think it's really important with both WERDA and the SEDS. What we're really doing is setting the city up to have these new funding streams from the federal government. So something we haven't previously had, super important. Okay, next slide, please. So grant support, I don't see Sarah, but she is absolutely phenomenal. She did not pay me to say this. I know a lot of grant writers. She is certainly one of the top. What we did is, and Mike, you can talk about this too if you want, but I don't want you to have to filibuster too much. So we took the city's capital facilities plan and the transportation improvement plan, everything that the council has said, these are the things that we want over the next 5 to 6 years. We took all of that and built a matrix that essentially matches up every single state and federal program to that project. So this is, you know, there's a lot of local match involved, a lot of grant writing. We're not going to go through and write ones for every single project, or Sarah would be very, very grumpy with me for saying this. But the point is, we now have a grants roadmap, right? So it's not just federal appropriations every time. It's not just these different levers through WERDA or SEDS, et cetera. Now we're very, very dialed in and have that roadmap for here. And then also, one of the other things that we've done kind of in that kind of same sector is help identify different grants, whether it's, you can see them all up there. You've got SAFER for, and AFGs, both for firefighters. And then the other one is Safe Streets for All. Safe Streets for All, very much like SEDS and WERDA, opens up a lot of different funding opportunities for us. All right, Mike, you're queued up. You want to talk about Safe Streets for All a little bit? And just caveat, we did not receive the grant, but we are now teed up with USTOT to go after it again. It's very oversubscribed this year, which unfortunately was the very first year it was oversubscribed. Previously, everyone got the grant. So it's fine. Anyway, Mike, you want to talk a little bit about SS4A?
Yeah, so for the Safe Streets for All, this grant program is really key because a lot of the historical grant programs at Federal Department of Transportation were dedicated to what's called federally classified roadways. And with the federal classification, typically you have to have a traffic count above 6,000 vehicles a day. And even if you don't have a federally classified road, the process to get one federally classified is extremely lengthy. It takes about 2 years. So a lot of your federal grant programs for roads get caught up in that, and then it gets extra competitive and you fall out. Safe Streets for All, that funds the complete street approach. So that's essentially that all modes of transit are accommodated on a street, like walking, bike riding, mobility, driving, all of that. And this is the only grant program I'm aware of at Federal Department of Transportation, where you don't have to have your street federally classified, which is a huge big deal. In fact, a lot of state programs are encumbered with that federal classification requirement as well. So anything where it doesn't outright direct that is like a huge deal. And they have planning grant dollars. We weren't successful this time, but this will keep coming back. It was just oversubscribed this time, so we'll tee it up again. And then once you get a local road safety plan, that'll essentially give you a prioritized capital facility plan for roadways, where it'll look at things based on where do sidewalks need to go, where are your crash locations for pedestrians, bicyclists, vehicles, and then it'll prioritize that accordingly. Once y'all adopt the local road safety plan at that juncture, this program has a separate bucket of grant funding for implementation. So then you can actually go for construction. And again, with this construction account, it's not tied to federal classification, which is a big deal. Because a lot of these programs at the state and federal level are, I mean, yeah, there's a hurdle you can climb over, but it takes a lot of time. And if there's a linear way to get around it, why not go for it?
It loaded. Wasn't there anyone? Slide, please. So what's next? You know, the first really near-term item we all have to be thinking about is our FY26 Congressionally Directed Spending, CDS, or Community Project Funding Request. Just like ASR, the $1 million we got last year, it's time to rinse and repeat and go after another, what they used to be called earmarks, but now they're some kind of clandestine CDS and CPF. But I think that is what it is. It's a direct appropriation to the recipient. So the mayor and I have talked about multiple projects. I think a lot of that's still kind of in development, but I think we'll probably have some good options in the next 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be putting together material, socializing with it, with the federal delegation, both at the local and DC level. Mayor, I'm hoping we can go back to DC in January and do it all over again. The next piece, I talked about WERDA. You know, we're gonna have to be advocating to the Army Corps of Engineers once we're approved. There's a very long and wonky process. I don't know if that's gonna be in your lap. I apologize if so, because the Corps is, you know, it's a very technically difficult agency in the best of ways to deal with. SED's completion, that's about a year-long study. So there's gonna be a lot of feedback from stakeholders, from businesses. There's gonna be a lot of community outreach that's gonna need to happen. So I think we'll make sure to keep everyone apprised as that process goes through. Do want to note that that will actually be done through ACDC. So, you know, obviously when Kyle and others get in here, you know, he'll be the one probably providing updates. And then, you know, we'll continue on the competitive grants. I talked about the grant matrix and then identifying those projects that the city is eligible for. So why don't we, you know, go after them? There will, of course, be a council conversation on local match because it's, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%. So obviously, you know, there's a financial commitment, but the things that we really look for are high grant, low match. So just so you all know, we certainly understand budgets are real, especially in smaller communities. So we have that in the top of our minds. And then lastly, kind of the, you know, the outreach is not as tangible, but building on the relationships with our congressional staff and members, including state and federal agencies, super important. You know, so as we're doing advocacy, figuring out what projects are important to the city and we need help, we can make sure to have cell phones. Anyway, there you go. Any questions?
City Council.
John, you asked for this last year, so hopefully this did the trick for you.
Yep, thank you.
Of course.
Right, thanks, John.
Of course, thank you.
Our next item On the agenda is 4D, approving an interlocal cooperative agreement with the Othello School District for school resource officers. And tonight, our police chief, Dave Rim, is going to talk about those discussions and this contract.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. The Othello Police Department wishes to continue the partnership with the Othello School District regarding school resource officer positions. The two attached agreements outlined the position's duties, responsibilities, and compensation. The two positions are similar other than the duty stations. One of the officers are located at Othello High School, while the other is located at McFarland Middle School. The compensation is also different. Both agreements are 2 years agreements. Another difference between these agreements and agreements in previous years is these are 12-month agreements. So it just doesn't mirror the school year. The full year agreement allows the SROs to provide services during the summer school activities as well as train school staff regarding school law enforcement topics as needed. And that was a wish from the school district. This also covers a time where additional police explore activities are being done in the summertime. We just don't stop that. We continue that even on the summertime. And so what these agreements allow is that time is covered as far as compensation. One position is compensated at 50%. It's not just 50%. The previous agreements were as entry-level officers. The school district agreed to the wages of the current officers. So they're both topped out at 5 years. So one position is 50%. The other position is actually compensated at 100% rate. They're paying for everything. One of the wishes that the school district had is that we, at least for the officer that they were going to be paying for, that he go to a 5-8 schedule Monday through Friday. After some discussion and looking at current crime trends and common sense, we moved both SROs to 5-8. And that was within their current CBA and within the current contracts. So that's what they're working now. You know, and the SROs, they understood exactly why we were doing that. And they just rolled with it pretty good. Both of the agreements have been reviewed by council, and the compensation amounts were provided by city finance. Any questions?
That I didn't, unless the council has any questions, we'll entertain a motion to approve this contract with the school district for school resource officer.
Two motions.
Is it two?
Yeah.
It would be two motions because they're two separate contracts.
All right.
Well, I'll take an opportunity to make a motion on the first officer.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. And the second officer?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move into the budget discussion. And we had a lively discussion at our last meeting 2 weeks ago. And tonight we're here to, I'll let Spencer lay that out for you. Go ahead, Spencer.
Okay, yeah, let me bring it up here.
Now I can bring it up here. The first part of tonight is a continuation of our meeting that we had at our last council meeting. We had at our last council meeting, we were going through the remainder of our red zone items, capital requests, and we ended the night with we had made our way through almost everything. We have three items here left to talk about tonight. One item. I'll say right before I get to the three, this is the sweeper, this one in gray. I left it on here because it still has budget effect. If we spend it this year or we spend it next year, this is the item that we are going to be adding to the 2024 year's budget for that purchase. And so it'll ultimately be taken out of this list. But for the the ending balance effect. I left it here. We have three items tonight to discuss. One is the roller, one is the Mini X, and one is the telehandler. So those three items there. So I believe, Robin, do you have a few comments to make about some of those? And then we'll move forward.
Okay, we can just walk down from the top. So the roller, I was asked to look at what wasn't accomplished when we were using the roller. We had it for 4 weeks, the one that we rented. And so we got all the alleys completed, and we did some baseball diamond work with it at that time. Things that didn't happen while we had the roller, actually, we pretty much accomplished everything, which is a testament to the guys spreading themselves thin. There were some things that got pushed off until September, and it kind of pushed us back in getting started on all of our Christmas decorating. But really, at this point, we have accomplished all the things that we had planned to this fall. So the guys just stepped it up and worked harder. So I can't really say that things didn't get done. There are things that we would like a roller for next year. A big need that's just recently come up is the road to Tomer, the metal recycling in Epic Grain. They're beating up their equipment as they're driving through there. So they would like us to fix their road, but it's going to be a pretty major fix. So we're going to need to rent a roller for that. During the season, we'll need a roller borrowed for baseball season again. Last year, we borrowed from Doug Pegram, the guy's best guess is 6 times. So if we have to go and rent that out of Spokane, it's additional trips to Spokane and time for the guys to go pick it up and take it back. As well as continuing doing the alleys, we're going to do the post office alley, which is tearing up everything that's existing and laying new. So that's another time that we're going to need the roller. Things that haven't been done in the past, the Lions Park fields, the outfields are used for soccer, and Tagaris Park is used for soccer, and they get torn up pretty bad. And if we had a roller, we could actually go roll those. It's just not a high enough priority to actually rent a roller to go do those things. So in the future, we will have to pull all the sod, resod, because we're not maintaining it the way it needs to be maintained. So I think that's all the things I need to talk about.
So that's real. Maybe we should go through.
Okay. Do the Mini excavator. Okay. So the excavator we purchased currently replaced a Mini Bobcat. We still have a, I just lost my word. Instead of an excavator, you have a
backhoe.
There you go. A backhoe. So we still have a backhoe. The Mini excavator is just a smaller footprint. So the excavator currently is at the pool, and it's a wide base. And so to get in to do anything, the arm is long. This next year, the state just had us complete the lead line service. Anything that was galvanized pipe from a service to a house needs to be replaced. So from us, anything from the main to the meter, if it is galvanized, has to be replaced with PVC. Having a Mini X would be an easier way to do that. We can use the big one, but there's a lot of things that a Mini excavator in the parks would be incredibly helpful to have that small footprint. A Mini X is, it's a 5 foot diameter that you're obstructing instead of 7.5. So, I mean, you think of how big of a difference that is. It's pretty big. The telehandler, we currently have a forklift. We have one forklift that leaves the shop, so then we don't have one at the shop. And so to have a second one rather than, because sometimes the genie just doesn't work for the things that they're using, the, what they have. So the telehandler is an addition to our existing equipment. It's also, our salt bags are getting much heavier. And so we can do it with the loader, but you still have to use the forklift to bring the salt bags out of the building because the loader's too big to get into the building. And we would prefer to be able to have the telehandler in the shop and load the truck in the shop so that the salt isn't getting wet before we leave the building. So again, we can work around it, but we are getting to the point that because the salt bags come in bigger and heavier pieces that we're going to need a bigger forklift if we don't get a telehandler.
Yeah. In our last meeting, we asked for some pictures and...
I don't have any pictures of when we had the roller here.
Okay. I just want to get a picture in my mind. What kind of a roller are you buying that you're taking on to the baseball fields and then also using on the streets, you know, for the, I mean, how big is it? You know, and what are we getting for the value that you're putting here of $130,000?
So that's that 5.5 foot wide drum. So your pass is 5.5 feet wide. That's why we can use it on the fields. It's also the same one we borrowed from Pegram's. We've always used that same size. So it's not the big ones, but when we're doing alley maintenance and everything, we're typically creating, you know, we're doing a 20 foot lane width. So it's not like we're doing massive roads. It's that alleyway that we want a 20 foot driving surface that's usable.
So with a 5 foot roller, you'd make 4 passes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which one of these three?
It's a cat. And it's a 5.5 foot drum.
My question was going to be, which one of these three items is your top priority?
The roller. And if you want to put a stipulation that we need to look at buying used, then we just need a parameter of what is an allowable hours and age on an existing machine that makes it a viable used piece of equipment. We don't mind buying used. It just is when you buy used, once you get past a certain point, how much has it been abused before we purchase it?
What percentage of the use are you anticipating using that in the alleys?
It will be used for all of the alleys.
No, so you've listed parks, you've listed streets, you've listed quite a few uses you mm-hmm. want to use for it. How much of that, what percentage are you planning on using in the alleys?
Compared to everywhere else?
Mm-hmm. 10%? It's not going to be much in alleys.
It's not much in the alleys because, we were able to do that in 4 weeks. We would like to maintain them quarterly, though, so we would do it much more than we did this year. We would do that same sort of thing. It just would be like this quadrant this week, you know, so we do the city over 4 weeks multiple times through the year, depending on how bad they get over the time. So I would say 15 to 20% of the time would be done with alleys.
Okay, so this is why I'm asking. You got the entire amount, or somebody's got the entire amount in the solid waste fund. Solid waste fund's a dedicated account, which means that account money can only be used for solid waste items. So if you want to spend $130,000 or $100,000 or whatever on a roller, you can't take 100% of it out of there. Am I right or wrong?
Well, we can talk about it and reallocate tonight. If it's a purchase you want to make, then we can talk.
I go back and forth on that roller. I do. It doesn't make financial sense to me when you can rent it for five, even if you're renting it for 2 months a year, that's $10,000 a year. You're talking 13 years worth of rentals for that cost. But on the other hand, I get it. I do. I probably get it, the use of that more than anybody in this room. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a tough call, but That's a big thing. It's taking 100% out of the solid waste. So and while I'm on that, I may as well go on to the other two. You know, 2 weeks ago there was a discussion in this room about spending money out of the sewer fund and the water fund. You know, we raised rates 2 weeks ago, and there was a statement brought up about stop spending money out of it. And now there's almost $100,000 coming out of solid waste and another $37,500 coming out of the water fund.
Yeah, I wasn't really saying not to spend it. I just want everybody to be conscientious of the fact that we're raising sewer rates to collect money, what we're claiming to collect money from the residents to put away to build a better infrastructure. but yet we're spending it every year on equipment for public works.
And you just reiterated it. We raised rates and now we're talking about taking money out.
But in the same vein, the equipment goes to the maintenance of the infrastructure.
And I think that telehandler, I'm an absolute positive no on the telehandler. I think that that's just silly. So your salt runs in the back of an open truck. So what's the difference if it gets wet loading it or gets wet out spreading it?
A lot of times you're not wet when you're outside. That's the thing. When we load it, it's loaded for a few days. It doesn't necessarily run when it's raining, right? Or snowing. You're running when it has snowed or it's rained the night before and now it's icy. So that's when you're running salt. But when you're loading it, it's the night before. So
it gets solid.
Okay, so we'll go with that theory, but you went, what is that, 60, 75,000 to load salt. Not when you already have equipment for it. And the mini excavator is the same way. I stand solid on that. Get rid of that mid-sized excavator. Take that money and buy a mini excavator. That excavator you got now will do nothing that a backhoe won't do.
Well, I wouldn't get inside of the middle one. Get rid of the mini. Mm-hmm. That can do the work of a smaller mini.
I'm not on
just
board.
Just
the
tighter
patterns.
Fit in the alleys and some of the areas.
Well, I think the 80. We can pretty much use. You can change to a 12-inch bucket and go and up to a 42 of it.
Yeah, so maybe it's just a matter of getting different accessories for the.
It's just a tighter area to go in. For example, if I got 5-foot setbacks in my house, you know, I got the air conditioning wall, the 5-foot mini would be perfect, right? But I just don't understand where that 5-foot
Angel
that mini would be needed. I mean, I think the 80 could end up doing a lot of work.
Hey, Angel. So my argument on that is that mini, they can get in, they get that in the park, they can get it in the alleys a lot easier. But that mid-sized one they've got, that's a backhoe. I mean, there's nothing they can't do with a backhoe that they can't do. If they're out digging mile-long culverts and mile-long ditches like what the irrigation district does, I could see it. Well, but not for what the city does.
Here's the difference. You get the mini, I don't know what the reach is. I think what's the reach on that, you know?
I don't remember. You can go down 10 feet.
You can go down 10, 12 foot. Okay, so if you have to go to a main, mm-hmm. You can go to the main with an 80. You can't do it with a mini.
So is that what they've got right now is an 80?
Yes.
Wait, so is that with a backhoe?
Is that a metal track?
Well, the backhoe, no, the 80, you can go deeper than a backhoe.
No, they currently doesn't have metal tracks on it. They're rubber tracks.
Rubber track.
Mm-hmm. So how wide is it?
What do you do, you know?
Do we have a picture of the 80? I mean,
sitting at the pool right now, I think it's 7.5 feet wide.
7.5 feet wide? And you want to go smaller with to a 5-foot wide?
Yeah.
I call 80 a mini.
It is. It is. Wow.
That's why I referred it to a mini, that there are a smaller one with 5-foot track.
And I've seen them to where they're, you know, those 5-foot wide ones where they can actually move in the tracks and, you know, expand them in and out. Again, the roller's your number one priority. What's your second priority?
The mini.
And then the telehandler would be, I wish we could have one, but we can get by without it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, ready to vote?
I am.
Okay. Well, that depends on what we're voting on.
Let's start.
I'd like to lower the value on the roller to 100,000. Make do with that. Find a roller, 5-foot roller.
I'm still okay with this buying used.
Huh?
Yes.
Find a very
good used
for
100,000.
Yep.
And
yep.
Then let's split that across a couple of.
And let's not talk about purchasing a telehandler this year because it's low on the priority. And you want a mini excavator, get one for 50,000.
For 50?
Yeah. That's my suggestion. Well, now, if the rest of the...
$10,000 difference on a mini, you don't want to go used.
Yeah.
You want to go new. You got 3 years. I don't know what warranty you can get with that.
So...
But I think it's...
Yeah, but do they need a cab? Do they need an enclosed cab on the mini?
That's $60,000 was for a used one.
The $60,000 is a brand new with an enclosed cab.
I thought Justin said it was used.
Nope.
No.
How are they getting a brand new mini for 60? Yet last year, that mini, they spent $148,000 on it.
Probably demand in the industry.
I have no idea what they purchased last year. I just know what I looked in across three different brands. I will say they were all that price.
That's
a huge drop. Yeah. Well, that's what they were. Know, they were supposed to buy the mini 2 years ago.
You were waiting on equipment. Now, I mean, they called me by equipment right now. They're not back ordered.
Two years ago in the budget, it was a mini excavator in the budget. And they bought that mid-size one.
That's one that was
high. But there's options on equipment. And an enclosed cab is a higher option than an open cab.
If you're going to buy a piece of equipment, you need to get enclosed. I do.
Why?
Because they're out in the weather. They're just, these guys, I watched these guys out on Friday out in this rain. It was horrible for them.
You want an enclosed cab.
Yeah, it needs to be enclosed.
And in that heat, in the heat in the summer.
Guys do a lot more work. Because it gets cold, they're
going to
be in the big
apartment. And
you see those little teeny excavators that they're talking about with an enclosed cab? I mean, you can barely fit in there. So if anybody's too big, they're not going to get in there.
Incentive.
And I think that also, because you're going to use that in a lot of places, correct?
Yeah.
I think that would be good split across the.
I think accounts. Originally when we had them put in one place, it was just for the clarity. For auditing purposes. It wasn't necessarily that's where they needed to come out.
And maybe let's drop the telehandler.
You want to drop the telehandler?
She said that's the lowest priority.
One of the things you guys have to keep in mind is the city is growing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as we grow, we do want good equipment. We don't want to be out there buying used equipment, old equipment with high hours. Yeah, we're going to have a shop. All our guys are going to be busy maintaining equipment. So keep that in mind.
Sure, but I don't want a parking lot full of brand new equipment that's not being used.
No.
Now, so, we had you rented it for 1 month. We paid $5,000 for that month. Mm-hmm. So after that month, how much more you should get? When you borrowed that roller, how much time do you say that?
It was out as long as my guys were here. It was all 4 weeks, every single day.
Yeah, but when you rented it, you borrowed it for Pedro.
Right.
How many hours did you borrow for Pedro?
I don't know. That was before. I don't have any idea.
Because I as a city, I hate to borrow quick.
Yeah.
We should be quick for to do anything we want.
And I realize that if you have it, you can schedule it and you can use it.
Yeah.
I realize that, but it has to happen. You can't leave it sitting in the yard.
Another thing, we have a manpower to keep busy all the time. Not all the time, when needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have enough operators who at least have experience or are gaining experience.
You've got some very good operators on your equipment.
Yes.
So we're getting close, it sounds like, to some decisions, yays and nays.
So you've taken the roller and spread it out over three accounts?
Yeah.
You can't leave it all in the solid waste fund.
All right.
You can't.
Okay. I don't care, Corey.
So the roller as a whole, it sounds like people might be, well, it sounds like maybe roller and mini X. People are leaning mm-hmm. towards yes on those.
I'm out on the excavator.
There's one out.
You're out on what?
Yeah.
Mini X.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Council, I'm out on the telehandler. I would request a public works director maybe take the next year to gather some data as to the need for that piece of equipment. I know she's new to the spot, so maybe that'll help us next year make a more informed decision.
Yeah.
But yes to the others, Daryl?
Affirm. Yes to the other two items.
Mark?
I'm out on the telehandler. The other two I'm fine with.
Okay. So that sounds like there's a majority for yes on those two and no. So I will, where are my colors? Here are the colors. Green those two and I'll red. Well, I will go like this. Go like that.
Red is dead. Okay, so you brought the valuation down on the roller to 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah.
You?
Angel seems to think we can get a good one for a good used one for 100.
And if you can't, come back.
So the next year, as we go throughout the year, we'll see use and what would be nice and what wasn't used and rented. And then we'll just have some numbers to come back with. And
well, it'd be nice to, you know, in your report that you put together for the council of the public works projects
report.
That you work mm-hmm. on. You might want to put an equipment list there and put down the hours of use.
Okay.
Well,
you got
to look at the usage on the gate.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that because she's setting up a department to maintain mm-hmm. the equipment, that every individual that gets into a piece of equipment down there checks the oil, checks the hydraulics, and then accounts for the hours that it's been worked in that day on a sheet of paper or something. So that she has a record of it.
Well, all of that should be getting tracked in the new work order program.
Leaving it run all day. Adams County does start their equipment in the morning and it doesn't get shut off until the end of the night, until the end of the day. And 90% of the day that equipment is just parked. So I hope our guys aren't doing that.
They are not.
Yeah. You know.
But the iWorks should be accounting for time and a lot of that. So
in your
see those,
you've now got a diesel tank and everything in operation, right? At the facility okay. down there. With your budget, what's your DEF cost? Is it something that you plan for because you're getting new equipment and you have to purchase DEF to put into that equipment? That's an expensive item. And it's a budget item that you'll be spending to, just like you do for your diesel and stuff. How's that going to affect your budget?
You know, I don't know that we've actually looked at how much, where we're at on our fuel. I think that all the DEF goes in with diesel and gas with our fuel bill. And so when we order our
fuel. You get more equipment mm-hmm. and new equipment.
Right, so we'll have to track and see before I can ask to break those out into a budget that I need to like actually track
yep.
percentage-wise how much it's increasing.
And whether you buy it in bulk or in small containers to, you know, store and put in.
Do you buy it in bulk? I hope so.
By what?
The DEF. You're buying it in bulk, right?
Yeah.
So
smaller containers are easy to manage.
I know, but that three times cost, four times the cost.
I don't know that for sure. I don't know.
So we can move on from this portion.
Yes.
Well, that greens everything, right?
Except for this, the telehandler. Yep.
We'll take it off the list.
I have enough to move forward. Yeah. We can move to the next agenda item, actually.
Okay. Our next item is our first public hearing on the 2025 budget. I'll open that public hearing at 7:12 p.m. And Spencer, you have a report.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're at the very end of our budget process from now until our next, likely the December 9th meeting. I'll be preparing the ordinances, all that kind of stuff to put all of these decisions into ordinances, and we'll be able to move forward for the new year. This is a kind of an exciting process. I know it's long, it's tedious. We start by the end of July and August at the department head level, and we start with all our council budget committee meetings, and then we start bringing everything together in the full council meetings, and it's quite a long process with a lot of yeses and nos, a lot of decisions made throughout, and then we make our final decisions at the end. I appreciate everyone's involvement. It's a hugely collaborative effort. We don't agree on everything, which is great. That's just fine. I don't know that we should agree on everything. We have a lot of different expertise at the table, and the goal is to arrive at a budget that is good for the city and it meets its needs now and for future capital needs. With that, I can turn the time back over to you, Mayor, for the
Council, do you have any
testimony
questions?
Portions.
Okay, I'd like to open the public testimony portion of the 2025 budget. Is there anyone present who'd like to, or online, who'd like to speak to this year's budget? Okay. That'll close the public testimony. And the procedure, do we close this public hearing and then we open a new one, the second one, or do we?
We'll close this one at our next meeting. We'll have the second public hearing.
Okay. All right. Then I'll close the public hearing at 7:15 p.m. and move on to our next item, which is a public hearing on the capital facilities plan, which I'll open up that public hearing at 7:15 p.m. Spencer?
So, as part of our budgeting process, let's see if we can bring this up a little bit bigger. We also put together what's called the capital facility plan. And this is a 6-year plan where we're looking at the current and future needs of the city. That's still pretty small, isn't it? Here, I can just go like this. Oh, geez. Yeah, there we go. Now we can see. That's a little bit better. So this is a plan that we update every year. None of the items on this list should be a surprise. I have a few items that I was going to point out specifically. So along with helping us with our current budgeting, this document also helps us with future grant opportunities. A lot of grants want to see that the projects that we're seeking grant money for are items that we've been considering. And so we've put together this capital facility plan, and this is based on our park plan, the 6-year TIP, the Transportation Improvement Plan, and then the water sewer capital plans. And so we've put this together. There are a few items I was going to point out. One is City Hall HVAC. this is an ongoing thing. And so in light of that, we're looking at a company, we're looking at some proposals from a company. And gosh, Mayor, would you want to say just one or two things about that one really quick?
Sure. Our HVAC system is, City Hall was built in 1997. So the HVAC system is 27 years old. The HVAC system has never worked properly since it was installed. Doesn't seem like it matters what time of year. We're freezing to death, whether it be the winter or the summer. There's been lots of money thrown at it, and it just is a system that needs updated, and it's expensive. We don't know whether it's going to be too, as you know, a capital facility plan is just a guesstimate. I also know that we don't have $2.5 million in our reserve funds to pay for it, but we are actively seeking a grant. We're working with a company called McKinstry. Before we can get a grant, we have to do an energy assessment. And so all of our buildings need an energy assessment. Once the energy assessment is done, then it's a matter of quantifying what it would cost to get a system done here at the city. So that's kind of my update on that. And then there's other items here too. So the
next item I wanted to draw your attention to was the fire here. As you know, we're starting our own fire department, and so we'll have some needs there that we haven't had in the past. We're actively seeking, there are a lot of grant opportunities out there that we're looking into, but here we'll have some we're gonna have some needs with equipment, facilities, and with a new fire truck eventually down the road. These are all things that need to be on a radar, and having it in this plan makes sure that it's going to be on our radar. Under parks, I was just going to pull out one item here with the pool. This is just the item that we added. The pool, we're going to need a new pool. Under street, there was one item that we added here, resurfacing the post office alley. There's the street. That we have a lot of other projects. Again, these are projects that we pulled out of our six-year transportation improvement plan. And having these items in here doesn't mean that we're going to spend the money on it. It makes it easier for us to get to look for grant opportunities to help with these. And then with water and sewer, for each of those, we have the treatment facilities in each one that are quite large. And then the solid waste, bringing forward $35,000 for the alley approach, the alley work. With that, just like our budget, this is very much a living document. We can look at it, we can change it at any time. I'll have an ordinance to pass this at our December 9th meeting, and as other things come up, if other things come up throughout the year that we want to look for grant money for, we can update this, and then that'll make getting the grant dollars a little bit easier. With that, I'll turn it back to you, Mayor.
We're going back to that HVAC.
Yeah.
So I remember the last time we were having trouble with the zoning on it, the ambers.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do us any good. I know we're due for 27 years of law. So if we get a new one, are those working correctly, or is that going to be part of what we're going to be working on? Because if you can get the heat, you can't get it where you want it. You know, with your zoning, that's not going to do any good. Something here, somebody else is going to be cold.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's always in an office or a place, especially like City Hall. Do you have the police department with all their gear on? They want it a lot cooler than we do. And yet you also have the challenge of a 15, 18-foot high ceiling in the lobby. And this ceiling here is a good 15 to 18 feet high. So that need is different than the need in a, like, say, the mayor's office or the clerk's office or back in Spencer's office. So there's a lot of detail goes into the study, into figuring out what exactly would, I mean, you know, it's going to be expensive if we're going to have a separate zone for every office and every, like, if I can change mine and keep mine at 72 or 3, but Tanya wants it at 75 and somebody else wants it at 68. Those are things that we have to, that's what we're going to find out. What's possible, what's reasonable, and how do we implement that? But it, I guess kind of the frustrating thing for all of us at City Hall is that it has never worked right. We've thrown a lot of money at trying to fix it. We probably know more now than we have at any time, but they were here, what, 2 weeks ago, Robin, and they went with Chone completely through the entire system. They have an idea of, I mean, it's a Frankenstein. I don't know how else to describe it. And so it's an ongoing problem. One of the things about those heat boxes that, you know, warm up a particular room, Tanya's never even ever had a heat box in her office, above her office. So it's like, okay, so you guys never really finished the project. And that's just one example. Back in the engineer's office, again, it was all, you never hardly ever got any heat back there. So we just would like to see it be at a normal temperature. But one of the things that we experience, and this is what's crazy, is I'll come in the middle of the summer and I see space heaters going. And it's like, it is cold. It's like a refrigerator. And like in my office, you'll have, I'm just describing what we go through. So in my office, you'll go in, oh, it's warm in the morning and it feels great. 2 hours later, it's blowing nothing but cold air. And so we just want to see it fixed. We need to take care of it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. The unit itself provides everything. We're going to have our dampers and that's all going to be looked at as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there may be extra ductwork that may be.
Yep.
For to zone it up correctly.
Sounds like there's your man, and I tried to answer that, well, but I took a long time to do
it. I think when I was working for the city, this had just been opened, and even at that point in time, it did not work sufficiently because the building was actually designed for someplace over on the west side and much milder climate, and it just was not. And they just basically took it, copy paste, put it here. And it wasn't designed to work for our hot summers and our cold winters, and it couldn't do the job.
That's right. In essence. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've gone through files and documentation and seen complaints back in 2007, 2009, that the system doesn't work and still doesn't work properly. Works better than it has at times, but I mean, like in this room, this is probably the warmest I've felt it in this room for a long time. You've noticed over the last couple of months, it's just been freezing in here. And okay, Gina, she's the opposite, but she's got a coat on now.
I'm warm.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the deal. Yeah, it has to be looked at, and we'd properly zoned it probably would, I'm sure it would be a lot better scenario than what we got going on. It's going to cost money though, real money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get it. That's why we have a grant writer. It's why we're continually seeking out. But again, as you know, with any grants, you can't get money until you do an assessment of some sort prepare a plan. And then once you have a plan, then you can apply. but it's got to be a consultant's plan.
With this item, there's no formal motion tonight. This is just informational.
Okay. So. This time I then open the public testimony portion to the capital facility plan. Is there any public testimony? Anyone want to speak to the our budget, our capital facilities plan? Anybody online, Tanya? Okay. That then I'll close our public hearing at 7:27 p.m. and move to the next item on our agenda, 4H, which is an ordinance to adopt the ad valorem property tax.
So this one is an ordinance that we need to pass tonight. Every year, as part of the budget process, the council passes an ordinance that fixes the amount of property that establishes the amount of property taxes that we are going to fix to all the properties within the city. And we work closely with the county assessor's office in doing this. And the attached ordinance would approve 101%, which means a 1% increase. So 101% would allow the city to collect 101% of the highest lawful levy, which means we take the current year's levy, we add 101, we do that times 101%, and then that becomes our new collection for the new year. The collection this year is about the maximum that we can receive is just over 2.9 million. I think our actual receipts will be closer to 2.8, which is the number that we worked into our budget. And then in the certification here, looking for next year, our highest lawful collection will be just over 3 million, which is this figure here. And I worked 2.9 million into our budget. And if we end up getting a little bit more, then that's great. And we can address that at that time. But with some of the increases that we've seen recently, I just wanted to stay a little bit conservative. With that, the recommendation is for the council to approve the attached ordinance establishing the ad valorem tax for the 25 calendar year.
This is an annual process. Council, do you have any questions?
And the 101%, that is completely normal.
That's the state.
Across the state, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we can find a municipality somewhere that doesn't do that, but I think it'd be hard.
I'll make a motion to approve the ad valorem tax ordinance for the fiscal year 2025.
Aye. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. The executive session is our next item. Council's going to adjourn at 7:30 to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 4230-110-1B to consider the selection of a site of the acquisition of real estate by lease or purchase. Executive session is expected to last until 7:40 p.m. No action will be taken during the executive session, and no action will be taken after the executive session. So council, would you prepare, or staff, would you please prepare the council chambers for executive session? Also, I want to make sure, Mark and Daryl, do you guys have a link to the executive session?
I do.
Let me look here.
Tanya's sending that over to you.
Okay. Thank you.